In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we are continuing our conquer, our battles in the land of promise with Joshua together, going back to the time of 1400 BC or 1300 BC to see how God helped them. And now we don't have much time left, so we will see how they wrap up the military campaign tonight and how God was still with them all the end. When God starts something, He will finish it. He will not leave you in the middle. He will not leave the job undone. If God has started something, He will finish it. And if you start something, if you rely on God, you will finish it, because God is with you. So in chapter 10, now, they are facing a very different situation. Remember last night, we were talking about they crossed the land. I mean, they crossed the Jordan River, and they go to attack the city of Jericho. And then this morning, we talk about they go to attack the city of Ai. In those situations, Israelites took the initiative to attack the enemies who are waiting in the city for defense. But now the situation is different. If you look at chapter 10, there was five kings gathered to attack Gibeon. And Israelites was dragged into direct confrontation with these five kings, because Israelites has made a treaty with Gibeon. If you look at this map, last night or this morning we talked about Gibeon, they deceived the Israelites and make a treaty with them in Gilgal, pretend to be very, very far away, but actually they were just neighbor. But they didn't inquire the law. They thought they were smart. They make the decision, and now they have to pay the price. Because if you make a treaty, they become an allies. If your allies was attacked, the allies' country have to send army to defend them. Vice versa. Even today it's the same. Why America, USA, we have treaty with NATO country. If NATO country are attacked, just like they attack America, and then America have to respond. Even though they don't directly attack mainland America, but if any American allies was attacked, US will be dragged into war. Or if you are NATO country, Canada the same. Right? Canada also in... So those are this kind of treaty, actually alliance formed even 115 BC. Even today is still working. So Israelites now, they have no choice. Gibeon was attacked. They send messenger to Israelites that you have to come for our rescue because you are our allies. So Joshua immediately summoned all the armies, and then they are ready to go there to defend the Gibeon. And the Gibeon, they know without Israelites, they'll be totally wiped out. Now, so suddenly, Israelites were dragged into direct confrontation with these five kings without much preparation. The initial plan wasn't like that. The initial plan was one by one, Israelites will attack them and finish them with plenty of time and preparation. But because people make this treaty, they make a mistake. So they were dragged into a situation. They have to face five cities together. Now, can you see what kind of trouble they get themselves into? Right? It's just like you're writing five final exams in one day, in your analogy. And you're having five final exam paper on the table together, giving the same time period, you have to write the same 3 hours, you have to write these five papers, different subjects. How are you going to do it? So Joshua was dragged into a situation. It was his mistake. It was his people's mistake. But our Lord is always merciful. Even though you make a mistake, you get yourself into trouble, but the Lord will not just throw you around, throw you away, and let you die. The Lord encourage One more time, Joshua. How did they fight the battle? Always start with God's encouragement. Let's turn to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 7 to 8. Joshua 10, 7 to 8. David, please. Okay, this is a very promising assurance given from the Lord to Joshua and his people. Do not be afraid. Yes, they have 100 reasons to be afraid. They are fighting 5 cities in one go. They just finished attacking Jericho and Ai. I don't know how well physically they are resting. But now, and also they have to travel quite a distance to go there. And their supply line, the base, is so far away. You can assume that the millions of people are still gathering around in Gibeon and in Gilgal. So he didn't have a lot of supply bases very nearby. And it's no time for them to gather everybody to go there. So, and he didn't know the surrounding that well because they haven't been this place. But God tells them, don't worry. One more time, just like chapter 1. Do not be afraid. There's no reason to be afraid because I am with you. This is very assuring, brother and sister. If the Lord is with you, if Jesus is with you, even only Jesus is with you, one person, Lord Jesus Christ, is bigger than the whole world with you. But if the Lord Jesus is not with you, even though you have all your friends with you, even though you have all your peers with you, or the whole world with you, you have nothing. So one with you is majority. That one is God. If God is with you, you are the majority. Don't cling on your friends. Don't look for help outside. Don't try to be the same with your peers. Don't try to be popular. Don't afraid to lose your friend if you stand up to your value and the truth. Sometimes we live our life so tired, our faith is so weak because we want to please everybody. We are afraid to be different. We are afraid to say, actually, we don't get along because our value is pretty different. I don't do the things you do, right? We are afraid to be different so that we live a life of double standard. But for Israelites, God wants to make them very sure that you are with me, you will win. You are with me, you are with the majority. So you choose. So brother and sister, have you made a decision? After this 2 weeks here, or the previous NYTS adding up, you should be standing with the side of the Lord. But if you are still wavering, then it is your choice. But Joshua, definitely, he heard what the Lord said. So the Lord encouraged him, and Joshua did something very, very powerful. Let's read verse 9 again. Next person, please. Verse 9. Continue.
So the Lord brought them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the road that goes to Beth Horon, and struck them down as far as Azekah and Machpelah.
Okay. Now, Joshua was fully encouraged. He was very bold. And he knew he has faith because success was before him, and Jericho was a success, I was a success, and the Lord already one more time said, I have already given to you. Once again, yesterday we talked about the tense that the Bible used, right? The Lord said what? I have given them to you. Prophetic, perfect tense. Future perfect tense. I have already done it. Just only time will show you how it could work out. But Joshua didn't just sit there. He chose to employ a strategy of military operation even today Israelites, modern day Israelites, Zionist army still use it to destroy or to fight the Arab country around them. What was this strategy? The strategy is compared to thunder attack. Fast, precise, unexpected military operation caught the enemy's surprise by surprise. Because all these five kings were thinking, we are going to, maybe they already siege them for a while. They haven't go in. But Joshua know that there is no time to waste. And Joshua know that if we go by daytime, they know that we are coming. They will attack us, and there's no way we can direct confront them together. So Joshua talked this strategy. Whole night, they didn't sleep. They're sneaking into the territory. While the enemy were sleeping or getting unprepared or resting, they are already there. And instead of waiting them to attack Israel, Israel took the initiative. Took the initiative and fight them and destroy them and caught them by surprise, and then they fall apart. And of course, this is very, very mighty strategy. Even modern-day Israel used this strategy. Modern-day Israel has encountered a lot of wars with the Arab country. A lot of Arab countries surround them, and all those Arab countries, since modern-day Israel was established in 1948, want to destroy Israel. But Israel, even today, used this strategy. I will not wait for you to fight me. I will act first. Just like comparison, right? If you see somebody threatening you, you don't wait until he hit you first and then you hit back. For Israelites, they see you are having, you are a threat to me, they will go to punch you first. This is the Israelites, the Jewish people, the Jewish army are very tough. They don't respond to threat by waiting. They destroy the threat first. Just like they know that Iran was building a nuclear reactor. What did they do? They send their jet fighter to bomb the site. They send the spies to kill the scientists. They will not let them to have the nuclear bomb ready because Iran said openly, we want to destroy Israel. So Israel said, I will not wait for you to get a bomb done and then we'll fight a nuclear war. Israel will go first, always, openly or in secret, if you follow the news. So I think they learned from Joshua, because Joshua was one of the most successful military commander. He was given wisdom by God, has the bonus from God, has the faith to rely on God. And that's why he was successful. And Israelites, even though they were outnumbered by these five cities, but with God's help, they won. And modern Israel were outnumbered by the Arabs, even by tanks, by soldier, by jet fighter, but Israelites survived all the war and won and occupied a lot of territory which belongs to Jordan or Syria or other places because they trust in God. And they have this strategy very successful. So this is how the action unfolded, but there was one problem. Chapter 10, verse 8, that we have to underline this in your Bible verse. This is one of the very assuring verses in the chapters. Underline this in the Bible. Do not be afraid, I have given them unto you. Nobody will able to withstand you. But the strategy, as we said, is take the initiative. Attack them while they are not ready. But they need some help too. Actually, it is not only the strategy that Joshua employed helped them to win. It plays a part, but not the biggest part. The biggest part of the enemy casualty not come from Joshua's people's sword, but comes from a weather situation. Unfortunately, they didn't have weather forecast at that time. They cannot hide themselves into somewhere. Let's read verse 11 next. Verse 11. This is wonderful, almighty, and a little bit funny. Funny way for the enemy to die. They don't die because the sword of the soldier of Israelites. But they die of what? They get hit by hailstorm. Maybe, according to the Bible, it's not a small one. I don't know, in California, do we have hailstorm here? You're here. But in the mid-days or in Canada, even sometimes in summer, we have hailstorm. And sometimes the hailstorm can be pretty big. But have you seen a hailstorm like a tennis ball big? It can happen in some extreme cases when the weather up there, the cool air, the moisture, or the pressure, whatever mix up together, it's not like ice cream falling. It's like stone. If it is a tennis ball big, because the Bible says it's a big hailstorm, it can happen. Can you imagine the velocity of a 2 or 3 kilogram stone-like subject? Ice is as hard as stone, right? It's very hard. Velocity of an ice subject fall from a few hundred meters up there, hitting on your head. What will happen? Your head will become a watermelon being smashed out. So God kill all these 5 king soldiers, a lot of them, by directly hitting the head, ripping them open. But you don't need that sword, because Joshua, they didn't have that many people. They didn't have so many time to really, one by one, chop their head down, right? So God helped them. So what does it tell us? Yes, you can have good strategy. You can have good preparation, but it is not about how smart you are or how hard you are, how hardworking you are. The divine help is the key of success of anything, whether it's your schoolwork, whether it is your career, whether it is a job searching, whether in the future your family building, or of course the most important is the divine work in the church. Whatever you do is not really a matter of how smart you are, but whether God is willing to help you or not. So really wonderful. And when they were fleeing and they were going downhill, and sometimes I picture it myself, right? You know, when you're going downhill, you need traction. But when there's so many ice balls falling from up, and when you are walking in the slope and there are so many ice balls, so many hills, what will happen? And then you just roll, and then you cannot stop and kill yourself, bump into each other. So interesting. And God was helping them. But there's another problem. The problem is, there's not much time to finish the job. Even though they have the upper hands on them, they are winning, but the sun is going to set pretty soon, if according to the normal time. So Joshua was having a problem that if the sun sets and then it's all dark, now obviously in the year of 1400 BC, they don't have night vision goggles like today. You get to see the night vision, you can still shoot and capture, you can do things, right? When the sun sets, everything must stop. And next morning, things can change. They may run away fast, they have energy one more time, and then they can regroup to fight the Israelites. So Joshua know that now we have to buy some time. But who can he turn to buy some time or make the day a long day? So brothers and sisters, do you have a long day? Israelites want to have a long day. Joshua want to have the longest day in history. How did he do it? He prayed. Very interesting. Joshua, not only a man of military might, But he was also a man of prayer. Next, please, verse 12. Okay, now Joshua pray. He was so busy leading the army, but he still have time to pray. Very interesting again. Wow. He didn't say, I'm so busy right now, I don't have time to pray. But he has so much to do, but he still have to find time to pray. And of course his prayer may be still handling the knife, still fighting the enemy, but he just called out. Of course he didn't have time to, oh, let's pray in silence or kneel down in the chair. Or kneel down in the chapel, right? Or do a very serious prayer. He just running and shouting and fighting, and then, God, help us, right? We need time. We need to you to give us time. And I don't know how he got this idea. I don't know how. Because before him, there was nobody prayed like this. Not even his predecessor, Moses, didn't even ask for this. Moses didn't even ask God for stopping the sand, please, for me. Moses only raised up the hand and then, you know, the sea was divided. That was pretty much the biggest miracle that Moses witnesses, right? So I don't know how Joshua got the idea, but no matter what, where he get it from, he got this idea. And you know, God is very creative. If you got the idea, I'll do it for you if you have the faith. If there's a need, of course, you don't come with crazy idea, right, every day, every moment. There was a need. Don't learn from Joshua. Okay, you know, wow, learn from Joshua. You know, let the sun don't set. Oh, we are playing basketball. Oh, sun is setting. Pray that the sun will not set down so we can have a few more extra hours. Right? If you pray like this, I'm sure you'll be disappointed. Because there was no such need, right? Yeah, you think you have the need, but God doesn't have that need. Joshua had the faith. He realized that there was a need for God's army to be victorious and finish all the job, finish all the enemies. No time for tomorrow in that occasion. So his needs is God's needs. His faith was recognized by God, and that's why God listened to him. So, brothers and sisters, write this down, very important. Yes, you need to have faith, but is your need is God's need? Is your will is God's will? Sometimes you say, oh, I have the faith, but why God didn't give it to me? Because what you are asking is not God asking, right? Sometimes we go against God's will, of course, even though you have faith, don't get it. So you cannot say, oh, I have faith so that I go to buy the lottery ticket. You know, some member go to church early in the evening service, ask the pastor, tonight, pastor, what is the number of your hymn tonight? He is not a pianist. Why are you asking the hymn? Pastor, don't ask me. Just tell me the hymns, the number of the hymns, and the first hymn, second hymn, and even tomorrow hymn. Why you don't need this? And then eventually he confessed, oh, I'm buying a lottery. I pray to God, have faith, and then now I ask you the hymn number. I'll use it for my ticket. So don't use faith in this kind of situation. Use your faith in something that God wants you to do and please God. So he prayed that, God, please stop the sun. Let the sun stop there. Let the moon stop there. And it was done according to what he prayed. Let's read verse 13. Next. Wow, very important. God heard a person's prayer. No, not happened before like this, and not after probably. What does it tell us? You cannot repeat this prayer. This is only effective for one time. You cannot repeat praying the same thing. Not before, not after, only one time. So too late, brother, sister. even though you are Joshua, you think you are Joshua, but don't repeat. Because the Bible already said this is only valid, this coupon is only valid for one time. All right? Only one time. Because every day if people pray like this, I think the star, the moon, the sun got confused, right? So only one day. That is. But what does it tell us, brothers? It's not funny. Jesus said the same thing. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 28. Next. Matthew 15, 28. Next. Jesus was talking to the Canaanite women. Your faith is great. Do it according to your faith. So it's not about whether God can do it, but whether you can believe it. And 17 verse 19, Matthew 17, 19. 19 to 20, next. Even you have faith like a little mustard seed. Tell this mountain to drop into this lake, this sea. It will be done for you. It's an analogy saying that even though the most impossible thing you can think of, but if this is God's will, if this is you have the faith to ask for it, God can help you to do it. So don't ever lose faith is what we learn throughout the whole book, whatever situation. So Joshua was so determined that he must win the battle. And he dared to ask something nobody asked before. And it was given to him. Let's turn back to Joshua chapter 10. Verse 13 again. Look at this verse. It was very specific. So the sun stood still. And the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves on their enemies. The sun stopped for almost one day. This is verse 13 tells us. What does it tell us? God can do anything. Some scientists, they explain the Bible, they interpreted the Bible this way, or some Bible scholar, they think it may not literally happen as Bible said. They try to explain different, right? They think maybe it was a solar eclipse. It was a total solar eclipse that the moon blocked the sun and they stopped. Because in the Hebrew word, the sun stood still actually could mean dimming or dying. There's no light. So some Bible scholar or scientist think that it could be a solar eclipse, total eclipse. It was recorded in about AD 300-something, and they come up with this idea. But I don't think so. Personally, I don't think it was a solar eclipse. Because even though it was solar eclipse, the sun and the moon are still moving, right? You cannot hold there for one whole day. It's not the point of an eclipse. It's the point of stopping it totally. Then people may ask, how could that be possible? That for the sun to stop, that means the earth stopped rotating. For the moon to stop, the moon stopped revolving. How can that possibly be? Now let me ask you then, do you believe God can make something out of nothing? This is Genesis chapter 1. If you don't believe it, then of course you shouldn't be sitting here. If you don't believe it, you should go back to evangelical service and be a truth seeker, right? Because you're still searching, does God exist? If God exists, that means he can make something out of nothing. So, if you're sitting here right now, you should be a seminarian or attending very serious Bible student. You believe God's power, and by definition, God can make something out of nothing. And that is even more difficult than just stopping the sun or stopping the earth to revolve, to self-rotate. So there was no problem for God to do anything. So don't try to use human thinking or rationale, trying to force something into more scientific explanation so that people will not laugh at you, say your Bible is totally not scientific. Of course, miracle is not scientific. Tell me, right? If miracle can be explained by science, this is not a miracle. So, believe in God no matter what scientist says. God is almighty. But I find something very interesting. We know that when the earth self-rotating, the shadow of the night was moving, just like you see in modern days map. When you're flying in an airplane, nowadays they show you in the monitor, right? What time zone you are in and why you're in the dark. If your plane is in the dark area, that means it's light. But if you cross the daylight, then of course you enter into light. So the shadow of the earth actually is moving this way. There was an article gathered by someone. He claimed to find that there was a lot of folk story from the ancient time. Ancient cultures have some kind of record of an extreme long day. It was found in some part of Asia, India, even Middle East. They may not be exactly coherent every 100% detail, but there was record of extreme, extreme long day. On the other hand, in North America and in Central America and even in Peru, South America, there was some record of extreme long night. Very interesting. Just similar to there are a lot of Asian folk record of a great flood has happened before. A great flood. So we don't need this piece of information to increase our faith. I'm just showing you something interesting that, well, that could happen. That can be the case, right? If that really happened, of course, some part of the world will extreme because the sun stopped here and Joshua, they were busy fighting battle here, right, in the middle, just in case if you don't know. Geography, where's Joshua? They're here, right? They're in the Middle East. So they were busy fighting, so all this part of, wow. If they were in China at the time, they wow, what happened today? Why the sun never set? Why I cannot go to sleep? Why? What happened? Is my eyes okay? Why are we seeing this? Right? And if you are the native Indian at the time, or in the Peru, the Inca, they say, wow, why we keep sleeping? The sun doesn't come out. There was one record saying that there's one night so long, even the owl, the owl, do not wake up. Even the light was so long, even they fall asleep. The sun didn't come out. So it's very interesting that the Bible is so true. Of course, without any scientific proof, we still believe it. There's no problem. Now, they have used the extra time God has given them to finish the battle. Because time is in God's hand. But unfortunately, God will not give you another day to finish your assignment. Your prayer will not be heard. So you better finish everything you owe me tonight. I'm serious. If you want to pass this course, every single journal you have to submit, even you just write half a page, you have to write it. Because you cannot pray that the sun will not come out tomorrow. So I give you the last warning, a very nice warning, but a very nice warning is still a warning. If you don't give every single piece of your homework, you fail this course, and if you fail this course, you fail this year, and next year you have to come back again. And if you're supposed to graduate this year, if you don't hand in every of your homework, even though you did your sermon today, even though I let you pass your sermon, you are still not getting your certificate. So don't pray, time will extend. Okay, this is sidetracking a little bit. I like sidetracking sometimes, just to remind you. Okay, now, time is extended, but they still have to get the job done. But look at this map. This happened when the time was extended. They start from Gilgal, they go to Gibeon, and they fight them all the way down to Hebron, and then they go around, and then they finish the job, and of course, coming back. And they capture the five kings, and Joshua execute them and occupy their cities. So God has saved them a lot of time. Instead of go city by city, so five cities in one go. And that terrified the neighboring cities remaining. They were so frightened. And this, they know that these Israelites were no joke. They go everywhere, they win battles. But not because they are very mighty. Let's turn back to chapter 10, verse 42. Chapter 10, verse 42. 10:42. Next. Okay, underline this verse. The Lord of Israel fought for Israel. Why they can win the battle? Because it is not their battle. It is his battle. The key point is their battle became God's battle. That's why they can have success no matter how hard the situation is. So brother and sister, remember your struggle is not your struggle. If you choose to obey the Lord, if you choose to walk in his path, if you choose to submit him, if you choose the righteousness against sinfulness, if you do what is right in God's eyes, your battle is no more your battle, but the Lord's battle. Don't think that your personal struggle is too hard for you to overcome. Don't think that, wow, your family problem is too hard, you cannot survive. Just ask yourself, do you obey God? Joshua was so smart that he just obeyed God even though he didn't understand. He's smart not in his own eyes, but he's so smart he wanted to make sure that I just obey God no matter what. Of course, he made mistakes, but overall, he obeyed God. And because of that, his battle, the people's battle, become God's battle. So today, you may have to ask yourself, are you going to let Jesus to take over your life? Let your personal struggle, let him to solve it for you. The hell, remember what I say, right? The tennis ball hailstone can fall from heaven and destroy the enemy. If the sun can hold on there, what else couldn't happen? So when I read this passage, I was deeply touched. And now they face another challenges. When you go to chapter 11, they face another enemy. Chapter 11, verse 1. Let's read 11, verse 1. Next. Continue.
And to the kings who were from the north, in the mountains, in the plains south of Chinneroth, in the lowland, in the heights of Doron, to the Doron the west.
And then, continue.
And to the Canaanites in the east and in the west, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, in the mountains, and the Hittites, the lower Hermon, in the land of Mizpah.
Okay, so look at this map. One more time, similar situation. Make it bigger. Now, this king of Hazar, he knows they are in trouble. They know they are in trouble because they will be the next target. So he also summoned other kings because in those days, one city is one country. There was no united country at that time. One city is one country, and one city has one king. So Hazar, king gathered everybody in the north, in the east, in the west, in the south, and they want to fight a battle with Israelites. And I want to make a correction I said last night. Last night I was saying that Jericho was the biggest city. But after I checked with some information, I was wrong. Hazor actually was bigger in size and stronger in nature. The king was very powerful, and they have chariots. Not only their war was very strong, but they have metal, they have chariots, and now they have a lot of allies which are able to fight with them to defend. But one more time, the success formula can repeat, write it down. Spiritual success formula can always be repeated. Just like when you do a chemical reaction, when you do a chemical experiment, if you put in the same element, same temperature, same situation, your result is always the same. It's not just one-time event. Spiritual success formula can be repeated. And God's encouragement with faith of human being plus total obedience equal to destroying, dismantling your enemies. So one more time, God encouraged him. 11 verse 6, next. 11 verse 6. God told them, one more time, do not be afraid, because no enemy is too strong for you. Write it down, brother and sister. This is God talking to you too. No enemy is too strong. No stronghold is too strong to be conquered. No enemy is too strong to be destroyed. But you may say, wow, this time is different, because this time, this enemy have a deadly weapon. Is this. The weapon is called a chariot. I want to make it bigger. Just in case you have very weak eyes. A metal chariot. It looks like this, probably. It was a state-of-the-art technology in 1300 BC. Not every country has it. At the time, remember, it was the late Bronze Age. If you have the technicality to make weapon like a saw, you're already very advanced. But you need to make very good use of metal to put them, mount them into a chariot. Egyptians had it because they were the superpower. And this king of Hazor, he had it. And he had a lot of them. Why American armies are considered superpower? Because we have a lot of secret weapon, right? Like an F-35. No, we have an unmanned drone. We have nuclear weapon, which is more superior than other country. But now the other country also getting it through different channels. Hazor have a lot of chariots. But God tell them, even they have chariot, by tomorrow this time, they are all gone. But God tell them a very interesting, a very unthinkable instruction. God tell them what? By the time you won, when you get their horses, what do you do with the horses? What do you do with the horses? Chop their hamstring, and then burn their chariot. Why did God say that? And of course, let's see what Joshua did. Joshua did exactly the same the law commanded. Let's read verse 9 next. They have hamstrung their horses. That means these horses can no more be fighter horses. They burn the chariot. That means the chariot cannot be used again. They burn it down. Why did God say this kind of unreasonable in man's thinking, right? Pretty unreasonable. If you win over your enemies, you capture the weapon, what do you think? Let me use it so that let me train my soldier, they can ride on a chariot, and next time when we attack other people, we can use this secret weapon other people don't have. But God said, no, no, no. Struck the hamstring, told the horse no more walking properly. Burned the chariot, no more usable. Why did God say that? Write it down. God want them to rely on the Lord God Almighty and not to rely on the weapon that they capture. God want them to rely 100% on God Himself. Don't try to learn from your enemy's tactics or weapon. Let's turn to Psalm 33, verse 16 to 17. Psalm 33, 16 to 17, next. Psalm 33, 16 to 17. 16.
Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy.
God wants the people to focus on His mercy. God wants the people to focus on fearing Him, be a person liked by God, and not focusing on using or relying on the enemy's weapon. So, do you get the point, brother and sister? In your life, what do you rely on? Yeah, maybe you are very studious. You can study. You can get good grades. But your life does not rely on good grades. You can be very smart in doing something, but your life is not rely on being smart on doing that things. If you want your life blessed by God, there's only one way. Look upon the mercy of God and fearing of Him. And your life will be guided by Him. Of course, not bad if you can have other talents, but it's not really up to you. So destroy those precious chariots. If you see, let's say, wow, this nice tank or nice fighter jet in today's term, right? F-35, one of these newest fighter jet worth billions of dollars, at least $1 billion. But destroy it. But Joshua was so obedient. God said, destroy it, I destroy it. No question asked. No debate. No doubting. Not say, are you sure? Can you repeat your command? Did I hear right? This is chariot. Come on, God, you know. Chariot is very powerful. No question asked. Just do it. We are lacking the faith. Just do it. We have too many questions. But thank God Joshua was so obedient. Because of that, God continued to bless him. Let's continue to read chapter 11, verse 12. 11, 12. Next. And then verse 15 to 14 and 15. Continue to read. The key word is leave nothing undone. 11:15. Why Joshua can have tremendous success? Why they can have blessing? Why can they claim the land? Because Joshua leave nothing undone. God said, kill everybody. Kill everybody. Burn it. Burn it. Burn the chariot, burn it. Not even leave one person, if this is what the command of the law. So brother and sister, in your life, do you have obedience? Yes, you have. You say, I have obedience, but I obey 99%. Just like King Saul, right? He obeyed, but he has selective obedience. I call it selective obedience. Why? If this is good to me, I obey. But if it is not good to me, then I will choose. That is not that good. So, or you don't come. You say you will come to make the sacrifice. I waited for so long, so I have my excuses. Let me offer my sacrifices. 99% obedience is equal to zero obedience. You may think that 99% is not bad academically, right? But for God, 99% is not good enough. Only 100% obedience is true obedience. If Joshua left one person unkilled, I tell you, if Joshua hired one chariot or one horse, even one wheel, right? He said, I want to make it a souvenir, at least, right? Please, God, I destroy so many chariots. No, let me keep a wheel so I can hang in my house. Like souvenir when you are a tourist, right? You go everywhere, you buy tourists, right? You buy a souvenir. If you even hang one chariot wheel in his house, I think God will be angry with him. But do you have this kind of obedience to God? So leave nothing undone. Write this down in your notes, in your Bible, in your mind. From now on my life, tell Jesus, I want to leave nothing undone to please my law. I want to leave nothing undone for me to practice my true faith. If the Lord tells me to do it, I do it. The Lord tells me to keep Sabbath, I'll keep Sabbath. The Lord tells me to go in the living water to baptize, I'll go in living water. The Lord will tell me to pray for Holy Spirit, I'll pray for Holy Spirit. The Lord will tell me to do anything, I will do it. So I hope that until now, the only lesson is faith. And faith is leave nothing undone, just like Joshua. Let's all pray in silence.